What if I told you that the risk-free rate for a standard, everyday retail investor with a brokerage account was 4.4%? That's right. From the depths of any money market mutual fund today, whether it be from BlackRock, Fidelity, or Vanguard, and you shall find 4.4% on offer. Just a year ago, that was effectively zero. Same as what you would get in a big bank savings account. What am I getting at? Well, in 2023, with the market for equities uncertain, chopping sideways, rallying inexplicably based on so-called animal spirits, should we just hoard our money in mutual funds and collect a bill? Now, of course, with interest and inflation, the real yield on all of that is still negative. But our money is melting less slowly? Maybe. We discuss. As ever, we are not financial professionals. This is not investment advice. Please don't listen to us, but please do enjoy this episode of Degenerate Business School.
I spent a lot of time this week deep diving on boring ass mutual funds like money market accounts and Merrill. And they're pretty much all like 4.4% for the, you know, the government repurchase and 1 to 3 month basket of US treasuries. So even for the retail investor, the risk-free rate is now 4.4%, because it's like net of fees, it's 4.4% basically when BlackRock or Fidelity takes their cut. A year ago, that was 35 basis points or something ludicrously low. So what I'm trying to puzzle out is, and I have no systematic approach, no. I just arrive late to every party. But if that's the case, right? So the S&P is at 3970 now. It's kind of like, okay, I can guarantee a 4.4% annualized return. In order for the stock market just to match that, it's got to get to 4145 from where it is now, from the current level. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just making shit up here, but I kind of now I'm in Robert's camp of like, yeah, the S&P will probably be higher by year end. But like, how high does it have to be for it to be better than a boring mutual fund?
It's not bad. Yeah. I mean, I put maybe 15% of my stack in, you know, a money market for 3 months and, you know, I get my 3%, you know, and I might just roll. I'm going to probably get back in if it's at 4%. I got to check out the rates now.
It's not bad. Robert, you can lose money more slowly now, net of inflation. Every mutual fund, money market mutual fund on Merrill is currently offering risk-free 4.4% to just hold your money in a mutual fund in a brokerage account.
Yeah, but
mind you, one more thing. I looked into this. I'm like, but is your money insured in case the end of the world happens and there's a bank run? And it is up to $500,000. Sorry, jump in.
No, I'm just saying, like, look, I've never been one to invest in the market to make money, at least not 4% at a time. Like, I understand that I'd be losing it more slowly than I'm losing it now, but right now, like, I'm shooting for the stars, man. That's just...
No, listen, Rob.
There's a reason I've never bought, like, SPY, you know, actual shares.
I understand that. You want your approach to the stock market to be as much like buying tickets to the Powerball as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want the winning lotto ticket pays 10 to 1 or whatever.
Yeah, like I may talk all sorts of shit on people who follow Wall Street Bets, but I'm no different than them. I'm just, you know, not following it online is all. But the same mentality.
You're just more dangerous.
I'm trying to get attendees just like everybody else.
And I'm bag holding. I just don't write about it. So I guess, but this is an interesting dynamic now because you can move your money into these mutual funds. Again, you're guaranteed a 4.4% return. So I was just telling James, that means from current levels, you know, the S&P has to go from 3970 to 4150. Now, obviously, who knows what could happen? Animal spirits, whatever the rest. Maybe we reclaim the all-time highs in the next six to 12 months. I don't know. But I'm just saying what you can do is earn 4.4% on your money just sitting around. And then you can buy lottery tickets for GameStop if you want to do that too. So we're in a unique situation. Jerry has given us a bit of a gift. Your money will melt more slowly. And I just realized it this week by reading Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like just as you're getting more bullish, I suppose, I'm actually getting more bearish. Like the better, like whenever people see good data come out and they're like, oh, soft landing. That scares me more than when everyone's expecting the world to fall apart. Because yeah. It really means he has to be more aggressive. Which at this point, like when you were talking about 3,200 being in the cards, I'm like, yeah, I mean, technically, yeah, sure, but it's not really likely, I would think. Now it's like, yeah, I can definitely see it happening.
So what has changed your mind on that score?
I mean, it's odd inflation. It's the fact that it's not actually coming down, which means if you take Jerry at his word, which, you know, grain of salt on that one, but if you do, then when they would talk about 5.5% of a terminal rate, at this point that seems conservative because we can get there next month.
Yes. Right? Yes, there was, if I'm not mistaken, James, and I just always assumed that James is the one person out of all of us that actually reads Fed minutes, or at least summaries of them. He uses ChatGPT to summarize Fed minutes, probably. There, I think the whispers coming out of the Fed meeting were, to your point, Robert, people saying, all right, this we gotta like stop this monkey JPEG rally and go higher than we originally intended, or something to that effect. Am I correct?
It was fairly flat though. I mean, they were already talking about it, but it was kind of priced in, so you didn't really see the market move that much. But there's always talk about the terminal rate, 5.25, 5.5. After today's inflation read, you know, people are talking 6 now, even though that really hasn't been in the cards. But I think the minutes were aligned with expectation.
Okay. Well, Robert, just to dimensionalize this.
Yeah.
I was telling James right before you joined. There is a site called ustreasuryyieldcurve.com. Must be accurate. It's got to be. It's on the internet.
I mean, I think it's required if you're going to have that name.
Obviously. The one-month interest rate is 4.68%. A year ago,
what?
It's 4.68% on a one-month treasury. That's what I'm saying. Your mutual fund.
What's the smallest amount you can throw at that? Because there's no way you can just throw like a grand at a 1 month.
Well, that's the thing. You can get access to it in like tiny bits through like mutual funds on offer at Merrill. They'll pull all that stuff. So they take a cut. So you only end up getting 4.35. Because they take 30 basis points.
I take that every day.
Hell to the yiz. So ultimately, a year ago, Robert, that 1 month interest rate was 0.05. Let's just have some fun. A week ago today, 2/17/2023. I'm going to use my computer. That rate was 4.64. So just in a week, up another 4 basis points. To your point, I think as this gets priced in properly, which is really the long end, but people on the Twitter are saying that Jerry is like, I'm gonna hold this MFR at 5% for like 3 years, like Alan Greenspan did in the 90s. I don't care.
The other thing that scares me a little bit, mind you, I don't know my history nearly as well as the two of you probably, but every now and then I talk to old people. I like talking to old people. And
wait, can I get a little more context? In what forum are you approaching these old people?
Either like at a bar or Uber drivers. My neighbors are all old. And they tell me about, you know, things before I was born.
Useful.
Yeah. A fellow was telling me that the first time he bought a house, his interest rate was 12%.
Correct. Right? That was the 70s, 80s, sometime.
Yeah, something like that. So while I can see like interest rates at 7% and think, who the fuck is buying that? Or I can see a 1 month T-bill and think, what the hell, right? Mm-hmm. What we've noticed is that the last 10/15 years of financial history has been a bubble.
Oh, right? Yeah. Of historic proportions.
Yeah, so we can't actually like see this and think, okay, maybe this is an anomaly. I don't know what a 1 month T-bill was in the 90s. Can you check that?
Let me see if the computer has it on offer. I'm going to pick a specific date, 1996. According to the internet, it doesn't have the 1 month. We'll use the 3 month, basically the same. It was 4.97%. So yeah. We're back to the 90s.
Which means while you and I can look at that and think that's an anomaly, in historical terms, it's pretty
accurate. Anything but, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I do subscribe, and I believe James does too, to the the structural thesis, mm-hmm. that like if you're in a long-term debt cycle, which basically just mirrors demographics, the society ages, you accumulate more and more debt, both at the government level, at the societal level, that long-term over debt burden societies can't sustain high interest rates. So I do think there is a mean reversion back to lower than where we are now, and that the long-term trend of interest rates, which is down and to the right, will hold, but we might be here for 3 years. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm going to be long duration, you know, the 10 year. So I'm waiting for the 10-year yield to go up to 4, and then you buy TLT, and then that's just like a nice long-term play. So I got that limit order in, but so you also have to discount with China kind of reopening, but then they also have that real estate crisis. Like there's going to be some stimulus in China that's going to kind of flow into U.S. treasuries too. So there's a lot of liquidity globally that will kind of anchor the 10-year. So that's part of my investment thesis.
I do think that it's like now is the time to be a little bit old, Robert. A little bit old, a little bit into short-term treasuries and dividend stocks. Some of your old favorites, some of your old standbys, like the, I don't know, Ford. No, nah, don't do Ford, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then you have old man, low volatility.
The Dow.
Or whatever. And then, but to your point, James, like it does feel like there's a setup here where I don't know. This is what I struggle with. This is the multiple hundreds of dollars questions for people like us. So if we're here now and the long-term pattern of interest rates holds up, James, is it possible that like the argument one would be then you'll get the mother of all duration rallies, let's say in 2 years. And then your growth end of the NASDAQ itself, crypto explodes? Or is it a repeat of like the 2000s decade where tech was just like overpriced and out of favor for like 10 years? Like, it feels like eventually tech will still dominate, like we talked about, because AI will rule the world, but we're coming out of historic valuation, so it doesn't mean you'll make money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what they talk about, selectivity. Like, you know, some of the shit in my portfolio, whether it's the genomic stuff, is crap, but, you know, if you buy NVIDIA or I don't know what else rallied, like Microsoft, you know, that's actually done, that's held up fairly well. So it really depends. Tesla kind of had a nice rally, and that's kind of held up a little bit. So, you know, you got to pick and choose the winners too. And I think that's what some of these fund managers are doing now. But, you know, so it's not going to fall out of flavor completely. But yeah, you know, it'd be wild before it gets to the highs of 2021. But yeah, there's still a good future. And at the same time, though, we're in this, the rates are in secular decline, you know, over the long horizon of like, you know, 10 years, let's say, right? The Japanification of the US economy. So we'll get there eventually. So, you know, you just got to sit tight with some of these plays. But some of the crap is going to, like, get washed out. Just like some of the stuff I still own.
I don't know. James has done okay of late. Crap has done okay of late. From,
I think, like, Edit is like, under $10. I still have that. You know?
All right, but you're going long the TLT if you can get it at 100 is what you were saying, right?
Yep.
Are you buying shares or are you buying options on that?
I guess you could do both, yeah. Because, I mean, it's going to not be that volatile, too. I don't know. I guess when the VIX, if the VIX goes under 20, I guess you can do that, too.
Because the 2025, January 2025 call on TLT is $12.
Oh, that's...
The only issue there is you're not collecting the dividend, obviously, but it's only 2.5%.
Yeah, with TLT, you don't get the like any interest payments, right? You're just getting exposure to.
No, yeah. It has a yield. Uh-huh. 2.5
has a yield. You do get it. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I don't think TMF does, which is leveraged TLT.
Yeah. You definitely don't get anything on that.
Which I'm down 50% on because I was early on this idea. I was like, oh, it's not going to go much lower. Sure did.
That's what's infuriating about this game and why I say I'm not necessarily in it to make money. When I went long UVXY, the stock market was a lot higher than this and the VIX was a lot lower than this. Today it expired worthless. Somehow... the VIX rallied, the market crashed, the narrative or the thesis was right. Just, you know, I didn't make any money on it.
Damn, James was right all along.
Oh, no.
Shit's hard.
Well, no, I mean, I got in at 5 at of UVXY, so it's at, you know, 544. Not bad.
Yeah, I'm at like 5.5 cost basis because I bought it twice, like a chump. Yeah. But I, Robert, okay. I'm with you. I'm like, this trade can't lose. Always a bad sign. Always.
What makes it infuriating is, again, the thesis is right. The thinking is right. The rationale behind that trade is right. Just the trade itself doesn't work out.
That's why I stand before you, an old man withered by time.
Buying one month
T-bills. Buying BlackRock mutual funds. 3.5% yield. Brought to you by Merrill Edge. Free sponsor. Free sponsorship right here.
All right. That's what we've been reduced to, unfortunately.
So, James, what do we do? Let's talk about the broad index for a second. So, we are in the... From a technical standpoint, we're at kind of like this crossroads where it's unclear whether or not there's been a reversal of the bear market, the beginning of a bull market. Because all the we're like on the right at like the intersection of all these technical moving average, blah, 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 blah. Robert knows. Anyway, What do we do when we get to 3,800? We just go, I'm gonna average in a little bit. What are you allocating? If we're just talking theoretical numbers, how much of your portfolio are you allocating in at 3,800?
Probably averaging in maybe 10% at a time.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Because I do have quite a bit of dry powder. So, you know, you can play TLT because if it's a recession play, you'll make money. If it's like a rates play, you can make money. Yeah. So, you know, so I think that's the biggest fear anyways right now going forward. The biggest risk is the recession risk because housing still is fairly high. And so that has to crash and then kind of bring everything down with it. And all this stuff, all the hot economic data is like a lagging indicator. So, you know, so you end up like, you kind of going into maybe small caps, maybe some TNA a little bit, some just kind of broad-based market stuff, you know, some QQQ. But might just do like, you know, 10% at a time. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So you do DCA into it, but then, you know, maybe 38 is the bottom. Maybe it's 35. I don't think, you know, do we think the lows are in? I don't know. That's a tough one. Most people are saying no. Most people are saying yes, the lows are in. The October lows of 3,500.
Yeah.
So.
We basically need, in order for it to be worse than that, is you're saying in order for the bottoms to be breached, let's say that 3,500 level, you need a proper recession to happen that people aren't anticipating. I guess that's a hard landing is not priced in.
Mm-hmm.
As Robert said, persistent inflation is not exactly priced in. So, or in the process of being priced in, perhaps. And the only other card on the table is a genuine crisis of unforeseen proportions. A broken bond market. I don't know how much more you could break the bond market, whatever. But one of those three things has to happen to invalidate the get long at 3,800 hypothesis.
Let me interrupt for 2 seconds. What is there a ticker for a fund that you're buying? Because if I'm looking at bonds on TD, it's asking me to buy $100,000 at a time.
Well, I'm looking at, if you go mutual funds, money market.
Got it.
That's basically, there'll be a collection of, there's Fidelity. I can tell you right now, I got it in front of me. The Fidelity FISXX money market treasury portfolio class institutional yielding 4.46%. Basically, three month rate minus 30 basis points. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. All right, y'all.
All right.
Thanks for joining.
See you guys later.